I know you're doing something at Mount Shasta now. You've got some sort of training. Are they classes going on, or what are you doing there?
What are we doing on Mount Shasta? Well, we have 33 people here, and we go up to this beautiful site on the side of Mount Shasta. And let me tell you what happened tonight. I wish so much we had been on the air and I'd had a sat phone to talk to you when this was happening. We were in this clearing up at about 5,000 feet, and we were sitting there doing our observation of the night sky, and it's a beautiful, crystal clear night here in Mount Shasta. And suddenly, at about 13,000 feet on the side of this huge volcano, which is what Mount Shasta is, this beautiful light illuminated. And then there were three of them. And we took our lasers out. We have these very high-powered lasers, and we started signaling to it, and they started flashing back. This went on for 50 minutes, and the only reason it ended is that I had to come here for this interview. But it was one of these things. And then, suddenly, we have all these electromagnetic detection devices with us. One of them is a battery-operated, state-of-the-art radar detector that has a laser band on it. And suddenly, as all this was going on, and we're seeing these objects on the side of at this absolutely vertical cliff where it's a glacier up there signaling to us, the electromagnetic detectors we had there started beeping and going off. And we're way out in the wilderness. There's no source for electromagnetic pollution or radiation to do this. So this was going on up to literally within minutes of me leaving to come here for this interview.
Wow.
So we take groups out to areas, and of course this is a very important thing. I've talked to the people at ABC News about this, is that we're bypassing this whole debate in a sense of, you know, are they out there? We've concluded they are, and we know they are. And so what we're saying, okay, here's an existential question. If we're not alone in the universe, and if they're here visiting Earth, what should we be doing to reach out to them? Instead of being passive, we've decided we should do something called the CE5 initiative, which is the Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind initiative, where we basically go out and say, okay, if you're out there, we're willing to vector you in using these radio signals and all this other stuff we're using, and see if you can interact with us. Well, tonight, here were these objects way up on this on Mount Shasta, and then, of course, this strange electromagnetic pulse came down around the group that started setting off all our electromagnetic detectors. What I say to people is that there is the ability of humans, even if we're not senior diplomats at the State Department of the United Nations, to go out to areas and say, look, we're here and we're conscious sentient beings. You're out there and you're conscious sentient beings. Let's see how far we can take that experience.
All right.
That's part of what the whole C-SETI experience is about. We've been doing this since 1990.
But Doctor, here you are at Mount Shasta, probably, at some level active. Certainly lots of minerals contained in one place. I mean, it is a volcano, after all. And UFOs have been associated with volcanoes for years in reports we've had. So that's not unusual. I don't know what kind of connection you imagine they have, but I mean, how do you know, for example, that you're not dealing with something metaphysical? That you're not dealing, you may well be dealing with something metaphysical. I mean, a presence obviously was there and was trying, or was at some form of communication with you.
Of course, it was specifically doing that, but you use the word metaphysical, and I would say, well, let's look at what Walt Whitman said, Leaves of Grass. Isn't everything metaphysical? What does the word metaphysical mean? Let's look at this very carefully. I mean, in reality, if you're dealing with civilizations capable of interstellar travel,
yes,
you're also dealing with civilizations who've discovered the nexus between light, matter, space, time, awakeness or consciousness, thought. And this is a very important thing to realize. It's a very advanced area of science to look at where the interplay is, or the interface is, between what people would call metaphysics. And I would postulate that metaphysics, or a miracle, is simply something that can be understood scientifically that isn't yet understood scientifically, and so they call it metaphysical or a miracle.
Mm.
Look, if you went back a few thousand years or a few hundred years and gave someone a cell phone,
let me try.
They would say that it was something interdimensional.
Yes,
they would say it's metaphysical.
Of course they would, but let me be more clear, if I can. When I say metaphysical, I mean, how do you know you're not dealing with a spirit, for example.
Spirits don't have astral physical lights that lift up off the mountain and fly around and signal back and forth.
They might. I mean, look, I deal in other things on this program. Ghosts, what are called shadow people, things that we truly can't explain, but millions of people are seeing. And there may be a wall between this life, and there may be another life, and there may be artifacts of that life, or maybe there's shadows and artifacts of this life. But
I don't think the compartments are as clear as you're presenting. I think there's actually a perfect continuum between all of that phenomena and us and life in outer space. And this is the whole point. There is a crisis, a paradigm crisis. There is a worldview crisis where science and, if you want to call it, spirituality is sort of trying to figure out how it brings itself together. It can be brought together. But the point is that to put them into separate compartments is to miss the point entirely, that there is a continuation or a continuum that crosses from things that are faster than the speed of light. You know, I wrote an article years ago called The Crossing Point. If you see a car driving around that has XINGPT on it, I'm in it. It means crossing point. And what it refers to is everything that is resonating faster than the speed of light. But when you go through the light barrier, and it's a quantum, it's not a gradual thing, it's a quantum event, you're dealing with everything that some people would call metaphysical, but you're dealing with sciences. And there are very specific sciences. Some of them are in the area of scalar electromagnetic systems. But you're dealing with very specific sciences that are clearly involving phenomena that some people would call metaphysical. But it's not metaphysical, it's physical. It's just very advanced and very high frequency and very high energy physics.
Fascinating. So it all eventually can be explained scientifically.
Absolutely.
Do you think that a lot of what we believe as religion could also be explained scientifically?
A lot of it, absolutely. And a lot of it is something that can be experienced. And remember, experience is the mother of all science. Empirical observation experience is the wellspring of all science. And so there's no reason to diminish experience. The point is that if we don't have the instrumentation to detect certain things, it doesn't mean it's not there. It just means we haven't developed the instrumentation yet. For example, did X-rays exist before we had the ability to detect X-rays? Yes, of course they existed. So we're dealing now with civilizations that are able to morph, if you will, or to transition into faster-than-speed-of-light forms. And you then step into an area that some people would call metaphysical, but it's actually very scientific.